السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخنا، أحسن الله إليكم.
أمين وإياكم أبا يوسف. How are you?
الحمد لله بخير.
Are we gone? We're already late.
نعم يا شيخنا.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. Yesterday, while studying our book Al-Adab Al-Mufrad by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari Rahimahullah Abu Abdullah, we stopped at Hadith 416. The Hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar, which occurs under the chapter heading Babu Man Ashara Ala Akhihi وإن لم يستشره. باب من أشار على أخيه وإن لم يستشره. The chapter about the one who counsels or advises his brother. وإن لم يستشره. Even when that brother has not asked for his advice, you advise your brother, even when he did not ask for your advice. He has not asked for the advice. You just look at him and say, Subhanallah, this brother, let me advise him. This is something perhaps if he does, it will bring benefit to him. And then you provide him the advice. He did not ask for the advice. He has not written a letter to you. Neither has he spoken to you. Please advise me and so and so. Because if he says, advise me on so and so, it becomes more incumbent upon you to give him sincere advice if he acts. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا اسْتَنْصَحَكَ أَخُوكَ فَانْصَحْ لَهُ. إِذَا اسْتَنْصَحَكَ أَخُوكَ. When your brother asks for your advice, then it becomes compulsory. And then from the six things that has been mentioned in some of the reports about the rights of a Muslim over another Muslim, is that if he asks for his advice, he gives him the advice. So if he asks for your advice, it becomes so incumbent on you to provide sincere advice and nasiha. But if he did not ask for your advice, but you see that he needs that advice, the advice will benefit him, but he did not ask you, you should provide that advice. This is what we have studied yesterday under this chapter. Babu man ashara ala akhihi wa illam yastashirhu. The chapter about the one who will advise his brother. He will guide his brother to something beneficial to that brother. وَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَشِرْهُ. Even if that brother had not asked for his advice. And we saw when Wahab ibn Kaysan narrated that the companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, Abdullah ibn Umar, رَعَى رَعِيًا وَغَنَمًا فِي مَكَانٍ قَبِيحٍ. He saw a shepherd. He saw a sheepman. Makanin Kabih, providing pasturage for his flock at a bad place. Makan, the place is bad. This place is bad. But he wants his animal to take some food from the place, and the place is bad. Radiallahu anhu, the companion رضي الله عنه رأى مكانا أمثل. He saw a better place. Hey, this place is better. So Abdullah ibn Umar, Abu Abdurrahman, qala lahu wayhak. Abu Abdurrahman, Abdullah ibn Umar, called out to the man, wayhak. Ah, you are making a mistake. How ya ra'i, O shepherd, you are making a mistake. Hawilha, change their place. Change their place of feeding. Change the place. Change location. فَإِنِّي سَمِيَتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ. Because I heard the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم saying that كل رعين مسؤول عن رعيته. Every sheepman, every shepherd, مسؤول, he shall be asked about, he shall be asked to make account عن رعيته regarding his head. If you have a head of sheep, if you have a flock, you shall be asked about how did you manage that flock? How did you care for them? How did you provide the need for those animals? Yesterday, our attention was about nasiha, providing genuine, beneficial, sincere advice to your brother, even when he has not asked for it. This is the point of reference for this hadith under this chapter 11. But if you note this hadith, it has another major lesson connected to it. And that major lesson was the reason Abdullah ibn Umar gave for which that man should listen to that advice. Look here, this place is a bad place. This place is a good place. Change from here to here because you will be asked about them. So this second aspect of Ibn Umar's statement, ascribing it to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Look, if you are a shepherd, you will be asked about your animals is a repeat of a very lengthy hadith that we had read in the past. That hadith occurs as hadith 206 in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. That hadith occurs as hadith 206 in this book. What Ibn Umar told that man in summary, he had actually mentioned it, radiallahu anhu, in a bigger detail. He said, كُلُّ رَعِن مَسْئُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَتِهِ. Say, change the place. Because you'll be asked about how well you took care of your flock. So change the location. So two things here. Here, Al-Imam al-Bukhari employed this hadith as evidence that we should provide sincere advice beneficial to our brother when we find him in need of that advice, even though he has not asked for that advice. But the second part of this is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Kullu ra'in, every shepherd, every sheepman, every header, mas'ulun an ra'iyatihi, they will be asked to make account about their ra'iyya. They will be asked to make account about their ra'iyya, about their flock, that animal that Allah has placed in your care, that fold of animal, you will be asked about it. This is a part of a bigger statement from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that Abu Abdurrahman, Abdullah ibn Umar has told this headman here so that he can change the location for his animal. Now that statement of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has also been reported by Abdullah ibn Dinar from amongst the Tabi'un, from Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, this is hadith 206 now, that the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, kullukum ra'in وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته. This is just the part of it. Abdullah ibn Umar told to the man who was handling that flock of animal, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, every shepherd, every sheepman, mas'ul, they will be asked about their ra'iyah, they will be asked about their flock, they will be asked about their fold of animals. So Abdullah ibn Umar had said that in a fuller version in other reports when he said, radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, فَالْأَمِيرُ الَّذِي عَلَى النَّاسِ رَعِنْ الْأَمِيرُ الَّذِي عَلَى النَّاسِ. The leader who is leading the people. If you are a leader, you are a class leader among students. You are a head teacher amongst teachers. We are coming back to the rest of the breakdown. You are a governor amongst the people. You are a president amongst the people. You, as you are a leader upon them. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, وَهُوَ مَسْئُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ. That leader will be asked about the people he leads. They will be asked about the people he has been placed in charge of. Those people, your subordinates, Allah will ask you about them. Allah will ask you about the subordinates. Did you guide them correctly? Did they have the opportunity to have better living, better salaries, better lifestyle, but you denied them? You were oblivious. You were nonchalant. And they began to suffer. Allah will ask you as a leader. Messenger also said, alayhi salatu wasalam, وَالرَّجُلُ رَعِنْ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ بَيْتِهِ وَهُوَ مَسْئُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ. The man is also the leader over the people in his house. You have a wife, you are a leader. You have a wife, you have children, you have relatives living with you, you are a leader. Allah will ask you about your wife, about your wives, about your children, about your dependents living under you. Allah will ask you about them. Have they observed their salah appropriately at its time? Do they have correct tawheed? Are their manners appropriate? The first things, the questions will come about. We usually think, oh, I spend money a lot on my family. It's not just about that. You will be asked about their deen, their religion. Did you provide the platform for them to learn? Did you provide the platform for them to grow in their deen? You, the husband, you'll be asked. It's not just about being the head of the family. Yes, you are the head, and you'll be asked about how well you have taken care of your wife and other dependents who live under you. The Prophet also said, alayhi salatu wasalam, وَعَبْدُ الرَّجُلِ رَعِنْ عَلَىٰ مَالِ سَيِّدِهِ. A man's slave, he has placed over some of his property. He is also a shepherd. وَهُوَ مَسْئُولٌ عَنْهُ. That slave will be asked about the property that has been placed in his charge. In some places, it will say that وَالْمَرْأَةُ رَعِيَةٌ عَنْ بَيْتِ زَوْجِهَا. The woman is also a shepherd in the house of her husband. Yes, the children are under her. The items, the cooking utensils, the bed in the house, the brooms, everything in the house is under the care of a woman. So the woman is a leader too in the house, under the man. And she's going to be asked about those things she is in charge of. Do you get your children ready for salah? Do you get your children ready for assignments? Do you remind your children, hey, have you prayed? Hey, who is that? Hey, do you do that as a Muslim woman? Because Allah will ask you. Most times women say to their husband, Allah will ask you about how you have taken care of us. Okay, you woman too, Allah will ask you how you have taken care of the things at home. Many women are nonchalant about things at home. Things get spoiled easily. The women don't care. Some men too don't care about their wives. A man will say he doesn't care whether his wife is wearing hijab or not. He doesn't care. Why will you not be responsible? Why will you be carefree knowing that Allah will ask you about her hijab? Allah will ask you, the husband, about her salat. In the Quran, Allah said, wa'mur ahlaka bis-salat, the heads of the home, command your dependents to observe the salah at the appropriate time and correctly. So you will be asked about it. So you see, it's not just about pointing accusing fingers at the ruler. It's not just the ruler alone. There are a lot of people who will be asked about those below them. May Allah protect each and every one of us. This is the second aspect of that hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar that we had read. But the point of reference why we have read it under this chapter heading was that Abdullah ibn Umar saw a man who was in charge of a flock of animals. And he saw that the place where they were grazing was a bad place. So he called the man out, Ya Ra'iya, Ya Ra'i, Ya Ra'i al-Ghanam, O you taking care of animals, Hawilha, move them away from where you are. Take them to a better place. Move them to that place. The other place is better. And we also recall that we mentioned yesterday that in this hadith, it shows that there is a difference between at-ta'ir. You just want to insult the man. Abdullah ibn Umar could have said, are you stupid? Are you mad? Are you this? As people say today to people, when they claim to advise them, but they are actually only bullying the people. People bully people today. You bully them. And when you ask them, I say, I want to give advice. But you bully the people. Allah knows, and He will reward you accordingly. So people do all sorts of things today in the name of, I want to correct him. It's not just about correcting the people. What you convey, how you convey the correction is also very important. When Allah spoke to Musa alayhi salam regarding Fir'aun, his and Harun regarding Fir'aun, Allah says, Waqula lahu, Musa, yourself and Harun, when you meet Fir'aun, Kula lahu, say to him, Qawlan layyina, use nice, simple expressions when you discuss with Fir'aun. When Allah asks us to make da'wah, He says, Udu'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati. He pushed wisdom first. Wal maw'izatil hasana. He didn't just say wal maw'izah, He said wal maw'izatil hasana. Good admonition. The admonition should be good. Your advice should be good. Your advice should be sincere. Your advice should be good, it should be sincere. It should be packaged in good words. You want to invite the man to goodness. Say it well to him. You are not commanded by Allah to abuse and insult. No, you want to tell him something nice and beneficial. My brother, can you do this? Perhaps while now explaining to him in nice words, he sees the need. Ah, subhanAllah, I was actually wrong. Usually people want the preachers, when we preach Islam like this, to follow this. They say, oh no, he didn't use hikmah in presenting it. But when they advise the people, they bully the people. When the teachers teach like this, as we are in class today, people say, oh yes, the speech, the delivery should be respectful. You should take charge of your audience and respect your audience. But some of the people, when they want to address the people, the same people who want teachers, who want the religious guides to be nice in their speech towards them, they bully the rest of the people. May Allah protect us. These things are, they all have, Nasiha has its language and it has its reward. Likewise, at-ta'ir, insulting and abusing people, that one also has its language. It also has its reward. If you make at-ta'ir, insult, abuse, bullying, if you make ta'ir, don't expect the reward of nasiha. If you make ta'ir, don't expect the reward of nasiha. Don't also expect the implications of nasiha. If you give somebody nasiha, wallahi, in his privacy, he will make dua for you. But if you make a ta'ir, he can curse you in his sujood. He can curse you in his sujood. He may not say anything to you, but in the sujood, he has his Lord with him. So be careful for the sake of Allah what you say to people. Al-Imam Ibn Rajab Al-Hanbali rahimahullah was an 8th century scholar of Islam. 600 years ago, he wrote a whole book on this subject, differentiating between nasiha and at-ta'yir. He called it al-farku bayna an-nasihati wat-ta'yir, the difference between advice and abuse. The difference between advice and abuse, insult, bullying, they are different. I think this is sufficient regarding hadith 416. We come to hadith 417, where Al-Imam Al-Bukhari gave another title heading when he said, Babu man kariha amthala sawti. Babu man kariha amthala sawti. Or Babun Man Kariha Amsal al-Sawt, the chapter about dislike for bad examples. Man Kariha, or Babu Man Kariha Amsal al-Sawt, the chapter about the one who dislikes bad examples. Don't become a bad model. Don't set bad examples in the Ummah. You are in front, you are doing something, and what you are doing is bad. The people see you and they take bad lessons from you. Don't do that. If you, as we spoke in the last, regarding the last hadith, if you insult somebody such that he now feels that he should insult you, you have become mathal sawi. You have become a bad example to that person, who becomes inside him, he feels he should return your insult for your insult, return insult for insult. Don't be a person like this. Don't be a person who is set bad examples amongst the people. All of these have to do with how a Muslim will conduct himself in the midst of the rest of the Muslims. And one of the things that clearly it is prohibited in our religion, don't be a bad example to others. If you are a boy in the class, don't set a bad precedence in class. If you're a teacher, don't be a bad model to your teachers, to your students. As we were saying, that it is bad to use bad language. Don't set bad examples. Don't be a person who comes, you do something, and then every person begins to do that thing, and that thing is bad. Bad examples. Don't set bad examples in what you do. Islam hates it. Don't set bad examples. Look at this religion. Everybody should set good examples. Don't set bad examples. Don't behave in a way that is bad, and then people begin to follow you up on it. Don't do something bad. Or you do something bad, and then people begin to compare you to bad animals. Why are you barking like a dog? You're talking to somebody and then you raise your voice. In Surah Luqman, Allah said, Inna ankarul aswat lasawtul hamir. From the most distasteful of voices is the voice of the hamir, the donkey. Why? When you speak to the people, waghdud fi sawtik, speak with its low voice, they can hear. So don't don't set a bad example when you come in the community, you begin to raise your voice, harassing the people. Oh, 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 oh. Some of the people go to bookshops, they go to stores, and with the slightest disagreement with the staff, you see them raising their voice, shouting and all of that. This is not from the character of a Muslim. Or sometimes you have a feud with your brother, something, a disagreement. Before no time, you begin to raise your voice, or you begin to behave so badly. So when you do that character, they now begin to think of an animal who behaves like that. This person behaved like a dog, he's barking, shouting. Or this person behaved like a donkey, shouting. Or this person roared like a lion, roaring, raising his voice. More, these kind of things. Don't set bad examples in the Muslim community. Don't set bad examples in your home. You are the head of a home, and your children would only learn bad examples from you. This is bad in itself. So it's not appropriate to set bad examples in the community. So what has the Prophet said, from where we can take this lesson? Al-Imam al-Bukhari mentioned this as Hadith 417. He said, Haddathana Abu Nu'aym, rahimahullah, qala al-Imam al-Bukhari, حدثنا أبو نعيم قال حدثنا سفيان عن أيوب عن إكرمة عن ابن عباس عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال ليس لنا مثل السوء ليس لنا مثل السوء العائد في هبته الكلب يرجع في قيه ليس لنا مثل السوء ليس لنا مثل السوء العائد في هبته كالكلب العائد في هبته كالكلب يرجع في قيه. الإمام البخاري has reported this hadith from his teacher Abu Nu'aym. Abu Nu'aym, that is the Imam Al-Fadl ibn Dukayn. Al-Fadl ibn Dukayn, Abu Nu'aym, is the Shaykh of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari in this hadith. Rahimahumullah. Qala haddathana Sufyan. He said, haddathana Sufyan. Al-Imam, that is Al-Imam Sufyan al-Thawri. An Ayyub. He is reporting from Ayyub ibn Tamima, that is Al-Imam Ayyub al-Sakhtiyani, rahimahullah, Abu Bakrin. Al-Imam Abu Bakrin, Ayyub. This Imam is Ayyub. I have hardly heard any one of us naming our children or our son Ayyub. Ayyub, alayhi salatu wasalam, was a messenger of Allah. So Ayyub As-Saqtiyani reports this hadith from the eminent Tabi'i, Ikrima al-Barbari. Ikrima al-Barbari reports it from the eminent companion of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, Abu al-Abbas, Abdullah ibn Abbas. Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, was that young boy the Prophet loved so much alayhi salatu wasalam, and prayed for him that Allah should make him a master of the meaning of the Quran. He understands, he should understand deeply the meanings of the Quran. Abdullah ibn Abbas, he used to be loved by the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. His kunya was Abu al-Abbas, radiallahu anhumah. Both himself and his father al-Abbas, they were Muslims and they died upon Islam. That was why we said, radiallahu anhuma. Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, is reporting from the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, that the Prophet said, Laysa lana mathalu sawi. Laysa lana mathalu sawi. The ulama say that means, لا ينبغي لنا معشر المؤمنين. لا ينبغي لنا. It is not appropriate for us, O Muslims. We, it is not correct. It is not in our place. أن نتصف بصفة ذميمة. That we should take negative attributes. أن نتصف is a Muslim. He has negative attributes. If you have to describe him, you have to say he's a rude person. If you have to describe him, you have to say he's manipulative. If you have to describe him, you have to say he's an aggressive person. If you have to describe him, you have to say, no, he lies. If you have to describe him, you have to say, no, he's disrespectful. If you have to describe him, you have to say he's stingy. It is not appropriate for a Muslim, the person of Iman, to take to negative attributes, negative traits. If we have to talk about you, we have to think about the evil in you. Don't do that. Don't be that kind of a person. لَيْسَ لَنَا مَثَلُ السَّوْءِ. It is not appropriate for us, O people of Iman. It is not appropriate for me, brothers, sisters, Ummahat, all of us. It is not appropriate for any one of us that when they want to describe us, they are mentioning us with evil. It is not correct. It's wrong. A husband wants to talk about his wife. He says she's abusive. It's not appropriate for you to be so abusive to the extent that when they talk about you, they must remember you being abusive. Ah, that person, very abusive. Let's not be like that. Let's not be like that. Don't be a husband. Your wife will describe you as very, very, very oppressive. Don't be that kind of a man. Your wife will describe you as oppressive. Don't be a friend. When your friend will address, talk about you, they say, ah, this person is very arrogant. He's very manipulative. You manipulate your friends. You come gently and you come hard. Each of them to serve your own purpose. Don't be that. لَيْسَ لَنَا مَثَلُ السَّوْءِ لَيْسَ لَنَا لَا يَنْبَغِي لَنَا أَنَّ تُصِفَ بِصِفَاتِ زَنِيمَ. It is not appropriate for a Muslim, people of Iman, people who say أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ, we say أَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهُ. It is not appropriate for us to take to negative traits. It is not appropriate at all. Don't set bad examples. Because when you take to it, your children copy it. Your friends begin to be like that too. Negative traits, unfortunately, they spread faster than even the virus. So your friends become manipulative too because you are manipulative. So when they tolerate you manipulating them, they become manipulative too. So for the sake of Allah, we should drop negative traits. We say it, negative traits come from two angles. Some people are like that. They inherit it from their parents. Their parents are like that. So when they grow, they are like that. They inherited it from their parents. Then we learn it too. We learn negative traits. The same thing, positive traits. We either inherit positive traits. A man is a patient person. When he has a child, the child becomes patient. That's inheritance. We inherit positive traits. Likewise, we also learn positive traits. Because the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, al-hilmu bitahallumi, al-hilm, being a nice, gentle person. Bitahallumi, you learn it by gradually learning to be nice and gentle. Elsewhere he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, man tasabbara sabbarahu Allah, man tasabbara tafa'ala, who learns to become gradually patient, sabbarahu Allah, Allah makes that person to be a patient person. So we learn good character. We can also inherit good character. The same thing applies to negative bad behavior. We can inherit bad behavior. So sometimes if you find a brother, he's aggressive, he's insulting, is rude to people. He's dirty. Some people are dirty. They don't take care of themselves. He's nonchalant. A parent once told me that his son inherited nonchalance from his own father. So something came to my mind. You are nonchalant too. The father told me that his son inherited being oblivious, being nonchalant from his own father. So I said, oh, it means you are like that too. Because that boy was to travel abroad. He was to travel abroad. He had not learned how to read the Quran. He had not learned Salat. He had not learned Islam. They want to send him abroad to study in the university. They are now looking for a 6-month crash program for that boy. 6-month crash program. That's when he will learn all the Islam he needs in 6 months before he travels abroad. So the boy will just stroll down to school and he will stroll out. He will come, he will go. He will come, he will go. So I asked the father, is he growing? He said, that boy is a nonchalant, but he doesn't care. So I said, oh, he said the boy inherited it from his own father. He didn't know my mind, but I had it in mind that you are also nonchalant. You left that boy from a very young age till he completed secondary school. You organized a university for him outside Nigeria in the lands of the people of disbelief. Now you want him to learn Islam within 6 months. That will be sufficient for him to live the rest of life. Does that not show that the father too has nonchalance? We Muslims have been like this. We set bad examples. So the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, laysa lana masal as-sawi. This kind of a thing is bad. It is not appropriate for the people of Iman to take negative attributes, setting bad examples in the community. It is not appropriate. Don't set bad examples. Don't take to negative traits, negative behavior, setting bad examples in the community to such an extent that people begin to compare you to a dog, to a donkey, to a lion, to a leopard. How should a Muslim say he think that he should behave like a leopard? One of the most dangerous animals you can find, the leopard. Don't employ being a leopard to yourself. It is bad. Don't say I'm keeping silent. Like don't ascribe that to yourself as a Muslim. Be a mu'min, because we are people of the best character. So that's why we learn every day to become better people. I always say this: you may not have achieved all of what you want to be today, but don't stop struggling. Don't stop struggling to be a better person. Don't stop. Don't stop the zeal to be a better person itself. The intention to be a better person itself will be rewarded with goodness. So don't say, oh, I want to be a humble, noble person. Well, it's been difficult. Continue to learn nobility, and then you, bismillah, will be rewarded for your intention and for your efforts, even though you have not arrived. So even when you arrive, you still fall short sometimes as a human being. So don't lose hope, make good efforts, but don't take to negative character. Make good efforts to drop negative attitudes and pick up good ones. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, laysa lana masalu sawi. It is not appropriate for us to take to negative character, setting bad examples. He went on, alayhi salatu wasalam, to tell us a negative character that people would do. He gave us an example. He says, Al-a'idu fi hibatihi. Al-a'idu fi hibatihi kal-kalb yarju fi qay'i. The one who returns who takes back his gift. You have a gift. Give it to someone. It's not that he bought it. If he bought it, that is trade. Or if there's an exchange, you give him, there is the passage of ownership from you to him. If that passage of ownership includes money in return, that is a purchase. But if you give him something as a gift for the sake of Allah, I just, alhamdulillah, is a gift for you, then that is a gift, that is hiba. That is hiba. It is not bay', it is hiba. You gave it to him as a gift. So he's not paying you back anything. You won't ask him, hey, pay me back. So if you give someone something, don't take it back. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu salam, al-a'idu fi hibatihi, the one who goes to take back a gift that he had given someone, that's a bad character. So don't do it. Don't do it. It's negative. Don't set that kind of example in the community. You give someone something, you go, hey, give me my shoe that I had given. Hey, give me my cap. I had given you a gift of a cap. Hey, give it, return my cap to me. Don't be like this. This is bad. This is negative. It's bad character. The Muslim should not take to these kinds of attitude in life. So don't do that to anyone. Don't do it. You gave him a gift. You can't say, give me my gift. You gave him some money, perhaps. So, hey, give me the money that I gave you. Don't do this for the sake of Allah. It is bad. So the one who takes back the gifts that he had given someone, kal, is an example, the similitude of that. He's like a dog. يَرْجِعُ فِي قَيْئِهِ, that goes back to its vomit. Like a dog going back to its vomit. Why should you go, a dog go? This is something distasteful. We will hate it. So if you hate even the sight of a dog going back to its vomit, then don't go back to take a gift you had given someone. Look at the two. As bad as it is, even when looking at a dog going back to its vomit, how is it a Muslim goes back? He wants to take his gift that he had given someone. I want to take it back. Give it back to me now. A man gives a gift to his wife. He says, oh, you didn't thank me, but I return my gift. Don't do that. Don't do that. You give a gift to your friend. Say, oh, he wasn't showing me good enough. Did you give him with the intention that he should thank you? If you gave him with the intention that forever and ever, he will be thankful to me. You want to enslave him with your gift. Don't do so. Give him for the sake of Allah. Be sincere. Be sincere in giving the gift. Give gifts sincerely for the sake of Allah alone, with the intention to help your brother. That's all. Give good intentions when you give gifts. So that will not make you be able to go back to it, because you had given him for the sake of Allah, no matter his own reactions. His own reactions are not important. What is important was that, did you achieve your aim? I gave him this gift for the sake of Allah. That's all. May Allah accept it from me. But how does he conduct himself? Was he happy? Did he tell me thank you? That is his own trouble and headache. So don't go back to the gift. Say, when I gave him, he didn't say thank you. Oh yeah, return it to me. Don't say that. Al-a'idu fi hibatihi, the one who goes back to take back his gift that he had given someone, kal-kalb, is like a dog. يَرْجِعُ فِي قَيْئِهِ, that goes back to its vomit. Dogs do that a lot. I remember when we were younger than this, if we saw a dog doing that, we used to stone those dogs because we hated that fight. The vomit itself would be something very, very bad to see. As bad as that is what we can compare to you going back to take a gift. That's something bad. لا ينبغي لنا مثل السوء. We people of Iman, it is not appropriate for us to be bad. Don't take too bad character. The way you hate a dog going back to his vomit, that is the way you should hate to take bad character. Don't be a bad person. That is the way you should hate to take a gift back. That's just the example given. You can have a lot. Don't be a bully. You want to be a bully? You want to be an aggressive person like a lion? The lion is always aggressive, or a leopard. Don't be like that. Don't be someone who is insulting, shouting. It makes a trouble with every situation. Don't be like that. لَيْسَ لَنَا مَثَلُ السَّوْءِ. It is not appropriate for us, the people of Iman, to take to negative characters so that we begin to be compared to things that are bad. When people see you behave, they think about an animal with a dirty character, like the dog that goes back to its vomit. Don't behave like that. Don't behave like that. Setting bad examples. Ustaz so-so-so, after all, did so-so-so one day. Don't be like that. Take two bad examples. I think this is sufficient regarding Hadith 417. We can look at Hadith. We still have about 10 minutes. We can look at Hadith 418. That comes under the chapter heading بَابُ مَا ذُكِرَ فِي الْمَكْرِ وَالْخَدِيَةِ. The chapter about what has been narrated regarding being tricky. Al-Makru, the man is trickish. وَالْخَدِيَةِ. You think that he's going right, but he's actually going left. He's deceiving you. He's going to deceive you. You think he's going right. No, he's going left. You think he's going left. No, he's going right. And you needed his guidance. He makes you feel, I'm guiding you for this purpose, but it's actually coming from another thing. مَا ذُكِرَ فِي الْمَكْرِ وَالْخَدِيَةِ. What are the narrations that have been reported about Al-Makru and Al-Khadi'ah? I think again that we should stop at 417 today. I think it's sufficient for us to stop at 417. If we open up this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has spoken about a Muslim and the person of Iman. The person of Iman will be a decent, humble person. He's not like he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, khibbun la'im, khib. He's not trickish, he's not deceptive, la'im, with bad, negative character. No, that's not a mu'min. The mu'min is kareem, is a noble person, girun, is accessible, is a noble person, is not a useless person, is bad in his character, uncouth person. No, the person of Iman is a noble, humble, open-handed person. Kareem is open-handed, noble, calm, sedate, nice in his way of life. Not the aggressive, uncouth, coarse, bully person. No, he's not. This is not the way of the people of Iman. Inshallah, we come back to that hadith in our next class. I think it will be sufficient for us to stop at Hadith 417 after we looked at reviewed Hadith 416 and added Hadith 417. Perhaps we'll have a few questions for the rest of the time that we have in the class this morning. Abu Yusuf.
جزاكم الله خير شيخ احسن الله
يديم. امين امين واحسن.
The first question here is جزاكم الله خير انت He found a person to be one who makes a fuss out of advices, like shouting that, so do you mean I do this? Or one who makes one embarrassed again for advising, and he has done this severally, such that most people now run away from advising him. If I see a thing to advise him about, and I don't, because of his character, will I be committing a sin?
The matter comes from two angles. The first issue to address is, don't be a person people avoid. I was in a discussion yesterday, and a brother was talking about saying that so person behaves like this. So I started saying, so how do we help him out? So the discussion should always be, how do we help that person out? A person who has become aggressive, when you advise him, every person who advises him takes a label of bias. If you advise him, say, you are biased against me. If you advise him, hey, you are biased against me. See, this one says bias. So if the only people who are not biased are those who don't advise him. If you advise him, say, you are biased, may Allah protect. It's not appropriate to be like this. But when the person is like this, there must be deliberate, genuine effort to help him out too. So the second part of the question is, okay, if a person runs away from such a person because of his nature, if you advise him, he will bring a tag on you. So is this sinful? Well, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we, I had started with, he mentioned alayhi salatu wa sallam, that from the worst of people are those people avoid because of their bad mouths and bad character. But when we find an opportunity to correct them, we should correct them. If we can, we can look for someone perhaps they will listen to. But if you leave him like that, he'll become worse. And perhaps what he does will spread in his family, his children, his wives, those who relate with him. They begin to take to that negative character. So the question about, is this sinful? Is it a sin? It may be a sin if you are able to correct him and you leave him aside because of his negative character. And it will not be a sin if you are not able to correct him. Abu Amir, is it clear? If you are able to correct that bad person with bad character, as bad as he is, if it's possible for you to do something to get him corrected, yet you leave him aside, it will be a sin upon you. But if it is impossible for you to do anything, then there is no sin, inshallah. In fact, it may be that some of what you need to do is to set him aside, disconnect from him. Don't forget, we can disconnect from sinful people. So it will pain them and make them feel the remorse and like to, why is everybody avoiding me? So it would mean that our disconnecting from him itself is a means to call him to attention. That is also encouraged. So anytime, as long as we can do something about him, but we refuse to do something, then we are becoming sinful. We're able to do something is possible. It means if you have that kind of a fitna as a friend, you must always think, is it possible? Can I do something about it? If you can do something about it, then you mustn't leave him. If you leave him, it becomes a sin on you. But if you, because you have a duty to correct him, you have left al-amru bil ma'ruf regarding him, and you will not gain the rewards for al-nahyu anil munkar, prohibiting him from that evil. So, but if you don't have the ability, say this one, he won't take my advice. If I advise him, he won't take it. He'll just start shouting. He won't take it. It, in fact, it will spoil more. It will bring about more evil. Then you can leave him aside, and you will not be committing any sin. I hope that it is clear. If we can help the man, we mustn't leave him. We must help him. If we can't help him, then we are free, because la yukallifu Allah nafsan illa wus'aha. I hope that that is clear, Abu Amr.
Ma'am Shaykhana, jazakumullahu khair.
Ameen wa anta.
The next question is, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, ya Shaykh. May Allah preserve your abundance. Please
Ameen.
can we advise others with a hadith we have heard but don't know its authenticity? And would we be considered speaking about Allah and His Messenger without knowledge? Jazakumullah khair.
I mean, the scholars always discourage us from citing a hadith when we don't know whether it is authentic or not. This is common in the social media now. You just write Tirmidhi there, send it across. You don't even know whether it is in Sunan or Tirmidhi. Sometimes they write Bukhari there so that you believe it. Some people think that every hadith is in Bukhari. They say in Bukhari, they just write Bukhari because they are thinking, because of their ignorance, that every hadith you want to quote, you must say that it is Bukhari. So it may be a lie, they'll still write Bukhari there. This is very common. Many times people have sent messages to me, please help us check this. I say, this hadith is not in Bukhari. So things like that are common now with the proliferation of social media. Everybody wants to send a message. Otherwise, the ulama discourage you. They discourage us from citing a hadith when we don't know whether it is authentic. Don't ascribe to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam unless you are certain. This hadith, mashallah, is sound. That is when you should ascribe it. Because it's a big thing to make iftira'u ala Allahil kadhib. You organize something that's not true, and you ascribe it to Allah and His Messenger. It's a major sin in the religion. Ascribing something, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, the one who ascribes to me what I have not said. What did he say? فَلِيَتَبَوَّقْ مَقْعَدَهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. Let him find a place of seat in the fire. So it is common. He also said, alayhi salatu wasalam, and Al-Imam Muslim mentioned that at the beginning of his book, Sahih Muslim. He said, كَفَى بِالْمَرِئِ كَذِبًا أَنْ يُحَدِّثَ بِكُلِّ مَا سَمِعَ. It is sufficient for you to be a liar. How? Every hadith, everything you hear, you want to narrate it. You have not verified whether it is authentic or not. So the first job of you want to advise people, and you want to use a hadith, the first job you have is to verify whether that hadith is sahih. If you have heard it in a manner that makes you feel that this hadith is sahih, perhaps you heard it from someone who, if he narrates a weak hadith, he will say this hadith is weak. He is always talking about the hadith, whether authentic or not. Such a person, if he narrates a hadith, he didn't say whether it is authentic or not. Take it that it is authentic, depending on what is common with that person. So in that circumstance, you can rely on it because this person does not cite a hadith except a hadith that is authentic. So even if he didn't say, oh, this hadith is authentic, take it that it is authentic. Why? That person from whom you have heard it is always relying upon authentic hadith. But if it's a person who doesn't care, like most of these Jalabiyakbars, or many of the people who lead people, imams, khatibs, that are not people of sunnah and knowledge, they don't care. They can cite anything just to excite their audience. They can cite anything to excite and agitate the mind of their audience. So when people are like this, don't cite a hadith quoting them, depending on them, until you have verified that that hadith is authentic. Three things now we have said. The first one is that you have a knowledge, you have studied, this hadith is authentic. That is the best for you. Two, you are not sure whether the hadith is authentic. You are not in stage one, but you are depending on someone you trust his knowledge, who is always distinguishing between a hadith that is authentic and others. You heard it from him. You can depend on that. Because al-ghalib fi dhann, the most preponderant thing in your mind is that it is an authentic hadith. The third situation, someone who is nonchalant whether hadith is sahih or not sahih, he just quoting anything. Don't rely on him. Because the most likely thing is that as he is nonchalant about quoting hadith, it will be nonchalant about finding out whether the hadith is sound or incorrect and weak. So don't depend upon people like that. I hope that it is clear. Three things you can do in the circumstance, but avoid giving a sermon. Avoid it if you are not sure. You don't have any sort of knowledge of any kind. Know your key, know them. Then you should avoid citing a statement and ascribing it to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet said alayhi salatu wa sallam, man haddatha bi hadithin aw kama qala alayhi salatu wa sallam yura annahu kadhibun fa huwa ahadul kadhibayn. Whoever cites a statement, every people like that, is this sound, is this authentic? What he has cited, there is no clear-cut knowledge about whether it is authentic. Is it weak? No clear knowledge. But who are Hadul Kazibe? By the time we find out that this authentic is not sound, is one of the two liars. The first liar was the one who fabricated that hadith. The second liar is you who is transmitting the hadith without verification. So avoid citing a hadith until you verify whether that hadith is authentic or not. So that will make you avoid that whole of ascribing to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam what he has not said. So stay put with just what you know and what is clear to you, and then stop at that. Allah will reward you accordingly. Abu Amir, I hope that that's clear.
Naam, Shaykhana. Salawat ala alayhi.
Ameen, ameen.
The next one here reads, a sister who got married to a brother and discovered that he is diabolic after getting married to him within the space of 6 months. She requested for a divorce from him, but he didn't grant her and she left his house. Is their marriage valid or not valid since she has been able to establish that he's a Kafir?
The matter like this should not be restricted to her own judgments. A matter like this should not be restricted to her own judgment. Unless she's a very knowledgeable person who knows what she's really talking about. Sometimes people are just imaginary in some of the claims that they make. But let's say it is not imaginary. Her parents are aware. Things like this, a woman should not handle it without her parents or without her relatives or without a learned person like her own teachers and perhaps the teachers of the husband. So she should avoid being just, she's just doing it alone in this kind of a matter. Now, if she goes to her home, she notices something that raises suspicion. And then she goes, returns to her parents' home. Is that divorce? No, that's not divorce. A woman cannot divorce a husband. Two things. A man can divorce a wife. If a woman does not want the husband, she asks for separation. Please leave me alone, let me go. And that's why I always ever emphasize, I think I do that in every class. Marriage is a very, very delicate thing. Women, don't go into it alone. Go with your relatives, your parents, your teachers. Go with good guidance, because when you get into marriage, if there's need for any need for support, you get that support. But if you go it alone, you are alone. So if she leaves, she asks for the man for separation, and the man refuses to grant her separation. Meanwhile, she's in their house. Is their marriage valid or invalid? Like I said, it depends on what has happened. And the matter should be appropriately investigated. But one clear thing that a man can do is to go to the courts. Visit, go to the court, seek a judgment, the matter will be investigated. If the marriage broke down because of his kufur, the court will tell you that. If the marriage is now to be separated, maybe the matter did not reach the level of kufur that expels the individual from Islam. the court will also say that. That's why learned people should be involved in a matter like that. Where you live in your community, the learned people of Sunnah should be involved together with your parents. They will investigate the matter. They will check your accusations if they are valid. They will talk to the man. He may even have to repent. He might have even done that for reasons, excuses. So the matter will be appropriately looked at and the appropriate steps will be taken. But the woman just on her own part alone, and then the matter begins to, this kind of a matter cannot be resolved on an online class like this. Go back to your father, your uncle, your teacher, the teacher of your husband, and then set the matter up. The matter will be properly investigated and you'll be properly advised. You cannot get the appropriate advice in a kind of a gathering like this. I hope that this is clear, Abu Amr.
Naam, Shaykhana, jazakumullah.
I mean, can we stop here today?
Naam.
Or we have a question. I mean, the question I like to answer, Abu Amr, perhaps we look at it before we leave.
Naam.
The question said a person, I think a woman, may Allah protect us, who is graduating from university and people are signing on themselves. Abu Amir, you know these things young people do now.
Okay.
Young people on the day of their last exams in the university and final year students, they go and start signing on people's bodies. They wear white dresses. Can a Muslim woman do that? Don't do this. This is from the aspects of Jahiliyyah. What is it that will bring you close to a man who is not your mahram? Telling you, bring your body, let me write something on your body. It's Jahiliyyah. It is no other than Jahiliyyah. And a Muslim man who wants to do that too is partaking in that Jahiliyyah. It is Jahiliyyah. So don't do that to a man, don't do that to a woman. Don't participate in things like that. Knowledge you have acquired in university should make you become sensible and humble, noble. It shouldn't make you become behaving like non-Muslims. For the sake of Allah, don't participate in that, whether as a man or as a woman. As a man, how do you go to a Muslim sister? Sister, please let me write something on your hijab. What's wrong with you? Something wrong somewhere up there? Or a Muslim sister, one John comes to her and says, Elijah, please let me write something on you. And the sister says, oh, today is the last day. See, if the last day in the university, should you be stupid in the last day in the university? Let's not approach our religion like this. We should not come down. We should not be lowly because it is the last day of university. So then the last day of university, you should behave like an animal. It is not in our religion to take to negative, demeaning behaviors. Don't behave like that. Don't demean yourself as a man or as a woman. So for the sake of Allah, let us avoid things like this. They are no other than from the aspects of the Jahiliyyah that is still left with non-Muslims. So let us not participate with them as Muslims. It's a recent thing. It were not people graduated from universities years back. It was not there. It's a new thing people just started. It's a craze people have just started with. Leave it to non-Muslims. As for people of Iman, laysa lana masal sawi, it is not for us to become negative and bad, demeaning, lowly in our way of life, setting bad examples. We are not like that. It is not appropriate that a person of Iman is like that. I hope this is clear, Abu Amir, and I hope that we can stop here today.
No, Shaykhana. As-salamu
alaykum wa-rahmatullahi wa-barakatuh.
Wa-alaykum as-salamu alaykum wa-rahmatullahi wa-barakatuh.